Thank you. And today I'll be presenting on promoting health during pregnancy, the outcomes of an iPad-delivered multiple behavior change intervention that, again, was done at ProChange. And I have no relationships to disclose. Okay. So the plan for today's presentation, I'm going to share some background information on the pregnancy project, talk about the history of the phase one work, which is a acceptability and feasibility pilot test, showcase some screens from the program from phase two clinical trial, and finally present the phase two trial outcomes. So about the Healthy Pregnancy Program. Healthy Pregnancy is a multiple behavior change computer-delivered intervention that was developed using the trans-theoretical model of behavior change. And the intervention focused on three key healthy behaviors during pregnancy and postpartum. And the three behaviors are smoking cessation, stress management, and fruit and vegetable consumption. And we targeted underserved pregnant women. So why did we decide to target maternal health behaviors? When we look at developed countries, the United States has one of the highest rates of low infant birth weight, preterm birth, and infant mortality. And as you can see, the U.S. has the fourth highest rate of infant mortality of developed countries. Prenatal health and birth outcomes are areas where vast health disparities exist. Infant mortality is significantly higher among women of color and low SES groups. In addition, these groups have higher behavioral risks during pregnancy, as well as higher rates of pre-existing conditions, such as heart disease, diabetes, and obesity. So pregnancy is a window of opportunity as far as intervening on multiple risks. Pregnant women, to some extent, are expected to be asked to alter some health behaviors. So prenatal health risks tend to co-occur, and treating multiple risks at once maximizes the public health impact of prenatal interventions. Which brings us to the Healthy Pregnancy Program. It's a multiple behavior change intervention. It's iPad delivered in health clinics. It delivers tailored feedback based on theoretically driven strategies, and we prioritize cultural competency. So the phase one pilot tested the program's acceptability and feasibility, and the pilot was conducted at the community health centers in Connecticut. And within 3 weeks, 87 women had completed the program in the office either before or after their prenatal care appointment. So the majority, 95% of women, reported that the program could help them be healthier, taught them new information, and was designed for pregnant women like them. So the success of the phase one pilot was a great segue to the phase two clinical trial. And in phase one, key stakeholders were involved early to help determine focus on certain health behaviors and how the program could be integrated into prenatal care, and to assess the acceptability and appropriateness of intervention in regards to the cultural sensitivity, literacy, and norms. So for phase two, we conducted another round of participatory research, which included focus groups, advisory council interviews, expert interviews, another round of focus groups, usability testing, and then finally expert review. So now I'd just like to quickly show you a couple of screenshots from the program. So this is a login screen where women would register and enter a username. This is a stress management assessment screen, confidence assessment, and this is a stage graphic, and this animated pregnant woman actually walks to her appropriate stage of change based on the assessment. Oops, that was a mistake. And we also included some interactive activities that were placed in the session to increase engagement. This is a helping relationships activity where women identify supporters and how they can help, and a message to that person is dynamically built. This is a calculator on the cost of smoking. A flipbook on various nutrients and fruits and vegetables by color, and an action plan for those in the preparation stage who are ready to change. So for the phase two trial recruitment, pregnant women were recruited from three organizations representing six health centers. The first was Community Health Center, where the pilot work was done, Thunder Mist Health Center in Rhode Island, which is a smaller health center, and Open Door Family Medical Center in New York. And Open Door actually included mostly recently, or the population at Open Door includes recently immigrated women, and the majority were Spanish speaking. So women were randomized to treatment or usual care at the start of the first session. Women participated in 3 sessions during pregnancy, each approximately 12 weeks apart. They also participated in 2 assessments post-delivery, approximately 1 month and 4 months post-delivery. And they received $25 incentives for each session completed. So we knew retention would be a challenge given the underserved and transient population. So we conducted a sequential approach of communication involving text messages, phone calls, voicemails, mailed paper surveys, and we also included Crossroads Group, which is a survey group that helped us with the 5th time point follow-up survey. And we had English and Spanish staff at ProChange, the health centers, and at Crossroads, which was crucial. So this is a flow chart of our retention. And I think all the efforts paid off. We were able to retain 70% of the sample. So data were analyzed across all time points using generalized estimating equations, examining repeated measures effects. And some other primary outcomes were risk reduction for the 3 behaviors, stress management, which was meeting criteria for stress management was 30 minutes per day, and also total cups of fruits and vegetables per day. And we're not presenting data on smoking because we were not powered to show differences. Only 9.9% of the sample were current smokers, unfortunately. And secondary outcomes included movement to action maintenance, any stage progression, and stability in action maintenance among those at baseline, or among those in action maintenance at baseline. So just some demographics. Oops. 65% of the sample was Hispanic, 21% white, and 9% black. And at baseline, 43% of the sample chose the Spanish module. 51% unemployed, and 36% had no previous children. So this is the stage of change distribution among the overall baseline sample. The majority of the sample were in action maintenance for smoking and stress behaviors, and for fruit and vegetable consumption, the majority were in the pre-action stages. And this gives some insight into which behavior we were able to have the greatest impact on. So this is kind of a similar slide for this one. So the red in this figure represents at baseline, the women who are at risk for each behavior. And at risk was defined as those in the pre-action stages, which is pre-contemplation, contemplation, and preparation. And not at risk was reaching criteria for that specific behavior. So most women were at risk for not reaching the 4.5 cups of fruits and vegetables a day. And clearly for smoking, the majority were not at risk. Therefore, we were not powered to show significant differences. But that 28%, 0.2% included those who were not currently smoking but at risk for relapse. So again, only 9% of the sample were currently smoking. So this is the total behavior risks among those with at least one risk at baseline. So toward truly taking a multiple behavior approach, our primary outcome was looking at the number of behavior risks. So you can see the reduction in the number of risks from baseline to follow-up, with the treatment group in blue significantly reducing their risks more than the usual care group. And we see significant differences at postpartum time point 1 and 2. So we had the most promising outcomes for the fruit and vegetable consumption. You can see the extent to which the treatment group in blue increased their consumption. And if you remember back to the breakdown of risk status, close to 74% of women were at risk for fruit and vegetable consumption. So we had the most power to detect differences in this behavior. So in a secondary analysis, we looked at stage movement to criteria. So not only did the program increase the number of cups, it also helped about 43% of women in the treatment group reach criteria for fruit and vegetable consumption. So the number of minutes spent on stress management per day increased dramatically for both women in treatment and usual care, so no significant differences found there. And again, here it's amazing the kind of progress to criteria each of the groups made. So we asked some acceptability questions at time point 3 and received positive feedback. 94% would recommend this program to a friend. So just to summarize, we retained 70 to 77% of the sample at each time point. We reduced the number of overall behavior risks. We increased fruit and vegetable consumption by 1.5 cups and moved women to criteria. We maintained an increased treatment effect for stress, though not significantly different than the usual care group. And potentially for future research, we will allow us to detect differences in smoking cessation. So the strength of going mobile. So we know electronic and mobile health interventions help to overcome many of the challenges of face-to-face interventions. Some of the strengths are flexibility and convenience, easy to use and implement. They required little to no staff training. And for us, the use of iPads was actually initiated by one of the recruitment sites, and then they were supported by all of the rest of the recruitment sites. And at the time of the trial, iPads were kind of novel, so it was interesting for women to complete the program on an iPad in the clinic. So future directions. We hope to collaborate with organizations to distribute the program, and we recently received CAP funding from NIH to help commercialize it. And again, potential future research will allow us to power to detect differences in smoking. And we hope to add enhancements to the program, such as tailored text messaging, as well as additional behaviors. So, thank you.